Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like habits of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, where to get help, even how to get started on your own. And by the way, I love hearing from small business owners and employees. Let's talk about your business. Send me an email, gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. That's gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Today, the most endangered small town businesses and the struggle to save them. That story after this. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org, because helping business grow is pure Michigan. By the way, when shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. Across the country, mom-and-pop markets are among the most endangered of small-town businesses, with competition from corporations and the hurdles of time-worn infrastructure pricing owners out. More from New York Times national reporter Julie Turkowitz, who focused on one in little San Luis, Colorado. Julie, what have you found?
So I work out of Denver, Colorado, and I travel around the West. And I have sort of long been interested in this one community down in southern Colorado called San Luis. And this community is quite isolated. They are about 645 people right now. It's a farm and ranch town. And they have one little shop, one little grocery there that happens to be the oldest business in the state. And it's been run by the same family since 1857. It was started by a guy named Jose Dario Gallegos and is now run by his great-great-grandson. Wow. And his, you know, this place has really, you know, one person called it the soul of the community, right? And this is not just a place to go sort of buy, you know, milk and eggs and all that kind of stuff, but this is sort of an anchor business, right? And I have sort of been thinking about the back office of this place as sort of like the, it's almost like a therapist's office for the people of San Luis, right? The Felix and his wife sort of sit there, and people come and like lay their problems at the feet of Felix and Claudia Romero, who run the business. And but you know, Felix and Claudia are now 70 and 71, and they are trying really hard to sell this market, right? Felix is a writer. He wants to go write a book about his community. And the problem is that this place that is the soul of the community, nobody really seems to want to take it over. It's just a really difficult time for the mom-and-pop market. And, you know, I think a lot about, I used to live in New York, and I think that often in big cities, we sort of look at the loss of a sort of mom-and-pop shop as a sort of, you know, it's a sad thing, it's something to be mourned, it's so there's a sort of nostalgia associated with it. But when you're talking about a community like San Luis, which really is hanging on by a thread, they, you know, if you don't have the local grocery store, there's major questions about whether the community is going to survive.
Wow.
I should say that this place is really special. I mean, these people live, it's alpine desert, right? It gets brutally cold in the winter. There's not a lot of rain. Most people are farmers and ranchers, and it's the kind of community that has really held on. And people who live there are very proud of being from there. And so, you know, it's important to note that this is not just a sad tale, right? The fact that this community continues to exist, I think, is a testament to their sort of hardiness and sort of strong sense of identity. People here still, you know, most of them are descendants of Spanish conquistadors. I mean, really, like, have been in this community forever and in this place for a really long time, and then still speak the Spanish of their ancestors in this store.
Jeez.
And so essentially what's happening right right now is that the owners are trying to sell the shop, and they're really going through the same thing that a lot of people in communities, in these tiny communities around America, are experiencing, which is who is going to take over this shop at this very difficult time for these rural markets.
Boy, so let me ask you then, there's a line in your story, you say the closest reliably stocked market is 40 miles away. Doesn't that mean mm-hmm. business is good for that particular store?
You mean for R&R Market, which
yeah.
is this old market?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they definitely have a reliable customer base, you know, in terms of these 645 people who live in the community. But there are sort of other outside challenges that have been affecting business, right? One of them is that a lot of people still shop in the store for their little things, but they make their big purchases at the Walmart 40 miles away,
oh,
right?
Wow. Okay.
So that takes away sort of revenue from the shop. In addition to that, there's a lot, many concerns about sort of the infrastructure in the community makes it really difficult to run a place, right? The utility bills for the shop are about $1,300 a month. One of the struggles is that this community doesn't have a gas line that goes into the community, so people use like wood-burning stoves or propane tanks. So this makes it more difficult to run the shop. So, you know, internet is incredibly spotty, so that means that it can take all day to order food, right? They do their ordering, I believe it's every Saturday. And so these are challenges that make it not impossible to run a market, but I think that make it much less attractive to the next generation, right?
Yeah.
So somebody could buy this market and probably, you know, make some money, but we're talking about 1-2% sort of profit margins,
wow.
a risk of not making money at all, depending on how it's run. So it's not that this is a sort of that this is a business that is definitely going to fail. Not at all. It's just, you know, it's maybe not as attractive to the younger generation, right? Felix and Claudia work in the store all day, every day. I mean, it's their entire lives. It's difficult work.
Mm. We're speaking with New York Times national reporter Julie Turkowitz. She covers the Rocky Mountain region. Her story is called "Who Wants to Run That Mom and Pop Market?" Almost no one. All right, so this is happening elsewhere, right?
Oh yeah. If you look at markets across the country in places like Kansas, Minnesota, Iowa, they are losing their markets also, particularly in these towns that have, you know, say fewer than 3,000 people. Let me pull up the stats right here. Let's see. So there's various academics who have looked at this. In Minnesota, 14% of non-metropolitan groceries have closed since 2000. In Kansas, more than 20% of rural markets have disappeared in the last decade. Iowa lost half of its groceries between 1995 and 2005. I spoke with someone, didn't make it into the story, but I spoke with someone at the Bureau of Labor Statistics who helped me crunch some numbers, and it looks like about 10% of U.S. counties right now have just one grocery store.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Boy, is there help on the way at all? Or does this look like the reality is they're going to have to sell and nobody's going to run it and I don't know what's going to happen to the town?
Sure. No, I think there's two things to look at. First of all, they're just across the country. You know, not every story of a rural grocery is a sad story, right? There are a number of groceries that have sort of been in danger of closing or have closed, and the community has come together and said, no, we're not going to let this happen. And they have created sort of cooperatives or worked with nonprofits to sort of restart the market. And so it's certainly possible that something like that could happen in this particular case. I think that Felix and his wife Claudia would be very happy to get some outside help around that. I think they're just, you know, sort of struggling to run the shop day by day, and so sort of finding these extra resources, I think, is not always possible. And, you know, there are, you know, this is a very dedicated community, and I think that people, when I was down there, people seem maybe a little bit in denial that this place could close, right, because it's always been around. But I think my sense is that if people in this community really get a sense that this place might close, that they might do something to change that. You know, I have faith in this place.
Thanks, Julie. New York Times national reporter Julie Turkowitz. And when shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. Reminder, by the way, the Small Business Report is found on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com. That's also where you can hear our daily news program called This Morning, America's First News. Again, if you'd like to share your small business story, I'd like to hear it. You can send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. That's gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.